League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Classe finishes off the game, a 10-6 final as he strikes out Cam Smith to end this one. Angel Martinez with a grand slam in the top half of the 10th inning is the difference tonight as the Guardians win 10-6. That show's post-game show presented by Whataburger will feature Kevin Eschenfelder and Brian Bogusevic as your host. Julian Morales getting interviews in the Astros clubhouse. We'll hear from Joe Espada as well. 10-6 final, Astros lose their first series in their last 14.
First series loss in 14 series. Damn, Astros, that's pretty impressive. Hello and welcome aboard the Paul Gallant Show on this Wednesday, July 9th, 2025. I am Paul Gallant. Sean Mapes is behind the glass. You know how to get aboard the most interactive sports talk show in Houston, 713-780-3776 to call to text. As the voice guy said, you can join on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN 975, also on our brand new ESPN Houston app, available for your iPhone and available for your Android. Just got myself a new iPhone yesterday. Oh my goodness, it's amazing to jump from iPhone 11 to iPhone 16. It's also nice to just not have your phone shut off every, 30 minutes or so, which coincidentally happened right after you called Apple support about poor battery life. Oh, it just gets worse right after I tell Apple that my phone's not doing so hot? Huh, interesting. Maybe we need to dive into that tomorrow on Tinfoil Hat Thursday. Today is a Wednesday, which means soft boys at 12:30. Who's been soft in the world of sports? A washed wash Wednesday as well, washed watch. That is at 2:30. Who's washed in the world of sports and beyond? And also, we continue our countdown to the start of the NFL season. How many games can the Rockets win now that Kevin Durant's aboard and the Texans have one of the best units in the NFL that maybe people are actually talking about? But let's dive into last night's Astros loss. 10-6, they fall. Hunter Brown didn't look so hot. Gave up a home run to Jose Ramirez. Things kind of got out of hand from there. They even walked Jose Ramirez in the third inning. Josh Hader threw two innings in this game because the Astros couldn't get that extra run despite a couple of rallies that they had. Specifically, the awesome one that got me watching the game, Jose Altuve tying things up. But they weren't able to get that run across the plate despite opportunities to do so. To be, that's understood. I mean, look at who they've been throwing out there in the lineup the last couple of days. I almost skipped the whole game. I feel guilty for almost skipping the whole game because the Astros nearly came back to win. But then at the end of it, I'm also kind of mad that I tuned back into the game and only to see Josh Hader give up the grand slam. It's been interesting to see the reaction to this loss online. A few wins, and it seems many Astros fans, not all, perhaps I'm about to beat up an army of straw men here, but some fans are all of a sudden on the high of sweeping the Dodgers in L.A., reacting to every single moment in one of 162 baseball games like it's the playoffs. Jose Ramirez was intentionally walked twice. He did a home run, and he's the only guy in the Guardians who you've scared of in their lineup. And he got walked again in the 10th inning. I saw a lot of second guessing there. Oh, the spotter, what is this guy doing? Why doesn't he do the right thing that I would do if I were manager? I saw enough of that where I thought to myself, my God, can you ride the high of the sweep against the Dodgers just a little longer? Hell, you can keep riding it even if the Astros get swept by the Guardians. You think that Mariners are about to sneak up and overtake them in the AL West anytime soon? All right, maybe a couple of weeks from now if the Astros play poorly and if more injuries happen. But lots of weird energy coming out of the game. I base this off of a few fans online. But this minority needs to be shaken violently. I mean, we're really getting upset about a spot of Joaquin Ramirez in extra innings? There's a couple of accounts I respect on X. Milo's Microphone, a couple other ones who were saying, oh, man, I can't believe that they lost this game. Oh, it's really concerning. The pitching's giving up all these runs to the Guardians. What's up with Hunter Brown? Oh, my God. Josh Hader, jeez. What are they doing out there? Oh, the humanity. It's weird, man. They had a spring training lineup and still almost won that game, much like they almost won Monday's game. I get that they lost both. It's embarrassing to lose a series to a team that had lost 10 games in a row going into it. But, I mean, it is baseball. Weird stuff happens. There's 162 games. Some of you guys need to relax. Paul, don't you need to relax talking about this the way you're talking about it right now? I suppose. I just think a lot of y'all have dork energy out there while watching these games. I get it. Be passionate about the things you love in life. But I don't think there was really anything to get worked up about last night. The Astros are putting out a lineup that you'd look at and compare that to the lineup that they were trotting out earlier this year, and you would say, oh, yeah, the lineup earlier this year is the one that's going to score runs. Weirdly, they didn't. The lineup that you've seen the last two nights actually has done enough for you to win. Pitching hasn't been great. It happens. Baseball gonna baseball. Am I right? I mean, I don't know. It's weird. I get that all of a sudden you beat the Dodgers and you beat the Cubs and you beat the Phillies and now you're like, yeah, they're going to beat everyone. Well, this team is weirdly not the best against the worst teams in the sport. Guardians are one of the worst teams, but they have clearly been playing horribly of late. I just think you need to dial it back to relax a little bit, you know? God wills it, but how much can God will it? I mean, he's got to take a night off. Or two. You're expecting the big man upstairs to watch 162 games of the Astros over the course of the season. First off, you're assuming God's a dork. Second off, he's got bigger things to focus on. And while God has willed the Astros' amazing first half that got an A from ESPN.com, can't do it every single night, Sean Mapes.
Famously, God rests every once in a while.
Ooh, that's true.
Famously.
So he picks Monday and Tuesday to do it.
Yeah, the City Connect days. He's like, I'm out.
Yeah, I don't really like these uniforms.
These are actually an affront to me.
Yeah.
So I'm good.
Why can't we have the Tequila Sunrise jerseys? Asked God, looking down with a furrowed brow.
I like that God calls us we when talking about the Astros.
Well, it's God wills it. Yeah. It's God's team. We've said this. It's been established. I mean, how else can you explain the last couple of months? Look, reality's going to catch up eventually. We've joked about this. We've had fun with this. But, I mean, this is weird and nonsensical. They are winning in spite of so many injuries. It's awesome. Appreciate it. But just know, there will be a stretch where they don't play so well. It could be as short as a couple of games. It could be maybe a month. It's coming at some point.
Yeah, it could be this series. Like, this series that we're playing right now could be the, like, weird, this team kind of, why does this team stink all of a sudden stretch? It could stretch until the Mariners series coming up next, or they might just beat the Mariners. Like,
yeah.
And we're, you know, this Astros Twitter contingent is back to beating their chests.
Right, exactly.
For beating the Mariners. That's just...
Look,
that's why I don't spend time on Twitter. The Astros Twitter is the worst.
Sean, I don't spend time watching these games when they play bums because it doesn't matter. And
I'd rather watch the games than listen to these people if talk you don't, about it.
I'm with you, Sean. That's definitely true. And generally, that's all I have to go off of. Like, I'll find myself looking on X for I pick up my phone. I look on the app, and then I see people. They're like, "Oh, why?" And I feel like my For You just shows me people that are overreacting to everything. That's what sucks about social media these days. That's you generally see the worst of the worst, from cringe to just bad. But I'm not concerned about last night. You shouldn't be concerned about last night. You shouldn't be concerned about Monday. Everything that has happened over the last 2 months or so, where they had won just about every series for 2 months, is gravy. This has been ridiculous. Relax.
Yeah.
There's nothing to stress about. You don't even need to watch these games against the Guardians. We could watch the Rangers series because it's, you know, F the Rangers. Although I guess we're all, and for obvious reasons, I think we're all Texas strong right now, right? With what's going on in Central Texas, the toll, geez, it just keeps on rising and rising. But we want to focus on the battle for the Silver Boot, okay? The Silver Boot series, the Silver Boot challenge. I don't know the title of it because, honestly, I forget the Rangers exist often, even though they beat the Astros in the last, like, big-time series between these two teams, you know? Anyway, a couple of comments here from the 409. Two things I didn't like last night: leaving Hader in for two innings. Everyone knows he can't pitch two innings. Well, I think he can in the playoffs. But I agree. Like, right now, yeah, do you need to?
Yeah, that my thing is, like, I get that it's, you know, he's starting with a runner on second, so it's a high-leverage spot immediately. This isn't last year where you need to squeeze every drop out of Hader and Brian Abreu to, like, stay afloat and fight back to win the division. Like, you're up five games. Like, you can just have your closer pitch one inning.
Yeah. Yeah. Could be that. That's it, and then bring in somebody else. And if you lose, you lose, whatever. The texter continued, I don't care how good someone's hitting. You can't walk someone intentionally in extra innings. I disagree. I feel like the Guardians are that bad offensively, and I know that they scored a lot of runs last night relative to what they normally do, 10 runs. But I would. Guess what happens? If you walk one guy and you got to run second, potential triple play, huh? Set up the triple play situation, which never happens.
Classic triple.
I know, ball. From the 713, the loss is on Paul. Prediction of a no-hitter / a perfect game jinxed us. I forgot to pull the audio of that before the show. Should we play it again, or should we act like it never happened?
I think it's funny that it was, like, the opposite of a no-hitter. Like, it was the most hitter he's ever been in this season. So, yeah, maybe we play it later.
That is Sean Mace behind the glass. I'm Paul Gallant. This is the most interactive sports talk show in town. 713-780-3776 to call to text. YouTube at ESPN Houston. Captain Photon says, can we play with major league team players? This is the Space Cowboys now. Listen, they're just dealing with injuries, okay? Like, I think it's cool to see all these Space Cowboys up there because they keep winning with them.
I was going
to
say, I think it's cool, but
it's not September. It's not
October.
We're fine.
Yes.
It is
also, though, I catch myself doing that when I'm like, who's the Space Cowboy up here? Even though they've been good. Like, I have no reason to disrespect them by being like, get some of these Space Cowboys out of here. Let's get Chaz McCormick back healthy. All right. But yeah, they've mostly been good up until, I mean, even the last two nights they've been good. They scored 6 and 5 runs.
The offense did a very good job the last two nights. I mean, your weird Hunter Brown didn't pitch great and Josh Hader wasn't lights out moment. Like, two all-star pitchers had a bad night.
Yeah.
That's why they lost.
That to me is why I'm not worried at all, because this is like the flukiest thing. If they're losing the same way that they lose or when they lost a lot early in the season, when they were barely hanging on and they're losing games 2-1, like, that would be one thing. But the fact that this is so weird, whatever.
Another comment on Twitch says, Paul, you need to pump your lips up for TV. What, I need filler? Do I need lipstick or something like that? I was on TV this morning on Fox 26 with my guy, Nate Griffin, over at the Buffalo Grill. Buffalo Grill's awesome. That cinnamon coffee, oof. It's the best. I need a haircut. I definitely need a haircut. I need it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then some lip filler. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, thanks.
Ask Annie.
Yeah, Annie, the hairstylist, will be taking care of it. My sideburns got really thick, and they were, like, moving forward as I was talking. I was like, how is that happening? They're getting mutton choppy. You know, a little 1800s-esque. I just watched Dances with Wolves again for the first time in a while, and I was like, oh, yeah, I'm starting to look like these guys a little bit, but not in a good way. Wind runs through his hair. No, then I am your friend! Anyway, sorry, we're going down a rabbit hole. It is the Paul Gallant Show. Speaking of pop culture, is the reason the Astros lost last night due to the themed night at the ballpark? It was Friends Night. The TV show Friends Night, which I would imagine most men consider to be among the most overrated TV shows of all time. What is the most overrated TV show of all time, though? Embrace the big night at the ballpark. I guess people, what do? You dress up as a bunch of hot people that are living in what seems to be a very expensive apartment.
Great apartment.
Pretty mediocre success in their careers. No offense. I relate. I'd love to live in that place.
Yeah.
Did someone die or something like that?
I think that's what it was. Or at least the main one, the one that Jennifer Aniston lived in.
Ooh.
It was the...
Rachel.
Yes. It was the one that I think like someone's grandma died, and it was like rent controlled or something.
Okay, that makes sense. So it's got an 8.9 on IMDb. It's got a 78% on Rotten Tomatoes. I've watched the show and I've enjoyed it.
Yeah, it has its moments.
It does have its moments. I think that the cast, pretty well done. Yeah. Jennifer Aniston, Courtney Cox, throwing 150,000 miles per hour.
Top of their game.
Strong, powerful, independent women. David Schwimmer, the hateable character as Ross that you hate, but you also see a little bit of yourself in said character whenever you feel insecure. You had Matthew Perry playing the goofball that's like really smart and edgy and has awesome references. So the person I feel like I am. And on top of that, you've got the actor, and then you have the weirdo in Lisa Kudrow. The thing I hate the most about this show is the laugh track. That's really it. I think laugh tracks basically say, "Ha, you're a stupid idiot. Laugh, you son of a bitch.
That was a joke. Laugh.
You're stupid. Laugh. Laugh at what we did. Dumb piece of crap. You're so stupid. You need to be reminded this was funny, idiot." And it was a thing. I mean, this wasn't the only show that did that, you know? Like, Seinfeld did it, so.
Yeah, it was like standard.
Right. So, I think it's a little overrated, but the question I have for you, is this the most overrated TV show of all time? 713-780-3776 to call into text in YouTube at ESPN Houston, Twitch at ESPN 975.
The thing is, it's not bad. It's not a bad show.
No.
So
it's not bad. I think that it's definitely put on a pedestal that maybe it shouldn't be. I personally think Seinfeld's funnier.
I was going to say, I think it's because it came in. It like kind of got the handoff from Seinfeld as the top comedy. And so it kind of gets lumped in with that.
Okay.
I'm just looking at like most popular shows. Like, I don't know. Game of Thrones, I feel like it's pretty properly rated. As awesome until the end.
Awesome until the end, right.
Yeah, like everyone's kind of on the same page with that.
I have recently started watching Severance on Apple TV. I would have put Severance here until the last scene that I watched. The last scene that I watched, I was like, okay, finally, six episodes in, someone, I think, just died. Let's go, finally. Because it seemed like there were very low stakes. They're just getting punished a lot. The innies and the outies, you know? What do we got? What's the most overrated TV show of all time?
I'm just looking at, like, again, most popular ones and looking for ones I've seen. I'm not saying this is the most overrated, but Mad Men, I watched two seasons of, and I was like, I can't do this.
Yeah, Mad Men, listen, I liked Mad Men, but there's a specific group of adults who really like it. And they're like, yeah, it pays homage to the time that I grew up in. So it's generally like boomers love that show on a level that they can relate to. They were like, yeah, this is where I was. This is what I grew up in. nostalgia, blah, blah, blah. We had a Cuban Missile Crisis episode. You know, we're deep. We're edgy. A lot of people, I bet, say Breaking Bad. I think Breaking Bad's the best show ever. I've watched it 8 times. I imagine some people will say The Wire. I have watched the TV show The Wire 5 times. The Sopranos, can't put that there because The Sopranos paved the way for a lot of different TV shows. Rome, also one of my favorite TV shows. I have been getting a kick out of watching The Righteous Gemstones with the lady. The last episode we saw was the first episode of season 4. Bradley Cooper just makes a cameo. What the hell? That was out of nowhere. Generally, if I think a TV show is overrated, I'm just going to press the eject button. And again, we're talking about this. This does relate to the Astros. It was Friends Night at the ballpark last night at Daikin Park.
And I guess they need 81 themes. So they went with Friends, a TV show that ended 20 years ago.
Mm.
Walking Dead? Or was Walking Dead good
Walking
and then got
Dead
bad?
Walking Dead was good for
that's,
a while.
That's
and
the
it
hard
overstayed
part.
Its welcome. I used to do a podcast about The Walking Dead and Game of Thrones back at the Texans flagship until we realized that they had sold it and weren't paying us a dime. With Jim Mudd, who I believe is over, I think he's helping out with Michael Berry. I talked to Jim last night, actually. I think it was his birthday earlier this week. It was good to talk to him. And we actually got flown out to Los Angeles for the season premiere when Negan was walking around with the baseball bat. It was good up to that point. But
I was going to say, that's like kind of the – like after that was the
– Correct.
Fall off.
The decline. They were good at – I like a show that kills people off. I like a show that's willing to take people out. Because I think a lot of TV shows, you realize there's a little plot armor here. The main characters aren't going to go. That's why I love Game of Thrones as much as I did. Great TV show on that front, without giving any spoilers, a Paramount Plus show that's got Jeremy Renner, it's got Kyle Chandler, it's got others. The Mayor of Kingstown. Very good show on that front. I think rather underrated. We're getting a lot of nominations here. People are saying Schitt's Creek is overrated. I enjoyed that show. I like that. That's a pretty good one. But I haven't finished it, so perhaps that speaks to its overrated nature. Michael Carrera said that 70 show. Now we're just – people are just listing shows now. I kind of figured this would get to this point, huh? Now everyone's just complimenting the show, right?
What about The Office? Or is that another one good until it got bad?
The Office was great, so
yeah,
I can't call it overrated.
The Office had probably like 2.5 seasons in a row where I'm not sure they had a bad episode. They didn't have, like, an episode where when it pops up, you're like, meh.
Yeah.
You know, like, once it gets rolling in season 2 up until, like, season 4, it's just all hits.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's fair. House of Cards was tough after season 2. I thought season 1 and 2 were good. I thought it started going downhill, and then they just wrote Kevin Spacey out. Understandably, that said... There's a part of me that wishes they wrapped it up with Kevin Spacey.
Hey, one more season, and then you're out of here, buddy.
Have you noticed that Kevin Spacey pops up every now and then, and he's speaking into a camera, and it's like he thinks he's still Frank Underwood?
He does the accent.
Yeah. It's kind of awesome. Blacklist was good. Too many episodes. I agree with you there. Another texter brings up. Now it's turned into what shows are good. Okay, listen.
And it's like what shows are good, and then... got bad. Like,
mm-hmm.
Friends never really had a tail off.
Maybe
no,
I think it was always solid. Like,
yeah,
it was solid
like
to good.
7 out of 10. Like, it was just like boom, boom, mm-hmm. every time. So that's what's hard is that there's so many shows, especially now, or not now, but like in the recent history where it did feel like they kind of stuck around too long. That they kind of... they milk it until it's dry, and then it's like, all right, then I guess this thing's over, where every show has, like, you know, the last 2 seasons aren't that good. You know, like, once you get to, like, season 6, it really falls off. Like, that's kind of how a lot of these things go.
Generally.
Where, like, How I Met Your Mother was another one, where it's, like, good, and then bad.
How I Met Your Mother is Friends.
It is Friends. It is just, like,
New Girl.
Friends.
Is Friends. There's a lot of shows that are Friends,
yeah.
Which is why, like, Friends, I think, is overrated in a way, but I think it's one of those shows that kind of has become overrated because over time it's been done over and over again. And if you actually go back and watch it, it's good. I just think that when you throw a laugh track at me, you are telling me I'm an imbecile, which is true. But I don't like it when they tell me that. It hurts my feelings. Anyway, we're getting as many texts as possible right now, and there's no way I can comb through all of them. But most overrated TV show, if you've got a hot take as to why, lay it out. We'll try to work them in over the course of the rest of the show. Who has been soft in the world of sports? Embrace debate. Was the golfer who got his ass beat by who it turns out to be a person who you would not want to fight, you'll find out why, soft or actually tough? Soft Boys is next. Stay put.
In a tough sitch, Ime Udoka thinks you're a bitch.
In honor of the time that Ime Udoka called out LeBron James for being a soft-ass boy when LeBron started complaining about the language Udoka was using in a game, every single Wednesday at 12:30, we do a segment called Soft Boys. Who has been soft in the world of sports? If you haven't seen this video by now, you're missing out. There's a video that went viral of a golfer who was called for slow play, getting into a fight, and getting his ass whooped. Whooped. By another golfer this past weekend at the Alberta Springs Golf Resort in Alberta, Canada. Canadian versus Canadian scraps that don't take place in the rink? On the rink? I forget how you say it. I'm not a hockey guy. I would like to be if hockey was here in town. You should watch the video. This is the audio of the video. The first person that you're going to hear whooping up a storm and laughing maniacally is the guy who gets the crap kicked out of him. I mean, punched, thrown again, this time into the water. He just gets clobbered. However, he keeps on getting up for more.
You guys need to get off the golf course.
Yeah, we will, man.
Go now. Pack up. Go now. Go cart and go.
Don't know what you're doing. You're not scaring anybody. Hey. You're just making yourself.
I don't.
Hey, man. Come on, man.
Come on, man.
Hey.
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 Off to a good start, buddy.
I told you.
Man, leave him alone.
You want another? You want one too?
Came at me.
Leave him alone, man.
I got it all on record. Man.
Around the golf.
I got it all on record.
Around the golf.
Hey. You
want
to f***ing go, guys?
Leave him alone. Hey, leave him alone, man.
I wouldn't keep going back, you f***ing moron.
Bang.
Hey.
Bang. Come on, man.
Bang.
I'm not trying to get in there.
Enough.
Man.
Are you still
cheering
on?
You
enough.
Yeah.
Enough. Get out.
Hey.
Enough.
Things going well,
hey.
Bud.
Leave him alone. Get him alone. The f*** out of here.
The guy keeps getting up. So is he soft? Clearly he was sauced. But was he soft? Because this guy got thrown into a pond, got back up. Got punched in the face several times, fell down, got back up. Got punched in the face several times again, got back up. Got thrown even further than when he was thrown into the water, got back up. The funny thing is, his friend keeps on saying, hey, cut it out. Hey, stop it. And of course, you hear some Canadian accents there and a buddy.
I got it all on record, buddy.
On record.
So when he said on record, I didn't know that they're Canadian, but when he said on record, I was like, there's something up here.
There's an accent.
There's something
there.
Up here. You can't hide from me. It's that scene from Inglourious Basterds when Michael Fassbender puts up the wrong number 3.
Yes.
He doesn't do it the German way.
Right.
That's me. Whenever Canadians say something weird, I'm like, You're not American.
You're not an American. What's going on here?
I got it all on record, buddy.
So this guy kept on getting up like he's Rocky in all the Rocky movies because Rocky never blocks a punch, which is the most incredible part of Rocky's career as a boxer. Is this guy soft? Because here's something important to note. The man who is delivering the punches, the man who is yelling, bang, 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 while grabbing this guy's shirt to hold him up as he hits him in the face and hits him in the face and hits him in the face is former NHL enforcer Nick Tomasky, who played for the Florida Panthers. He played 245 games in the NHL. Sean, can you guess how many career penalty minutes he had in those 245 games?
245 games, 1,000.
Well, a little off. Penalty minutes are weird in hockey. But he had at least 1 minute for every game he played in.
Okay.
297 career minutes. Like most enforcers, he did most of his damage in the AHL. 486 games in 9 seasons. 881 penalty minutes. His career plus minus was minus 76. This guy lived to grab people by the sweater and say, bang, 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 which is my favorite part of the video. He knows he's winning. Yeah. And then he starts essentially giving himself Batman-esque sound effects as he beats the hell out of this dude who I think is actually pretty tough.
Hey! You wanna fucking go, guys?
Leave him alone. Hey, leave him alone, man.
I wouldn't you go back, you fucking moron.
Bang! Hey. Bang!
Come on, man.
Bang!
I'm not trying to get in there. Like,
I wouldn't keep coming back, you bleeping moron. Yeah, I wouldn't either, but he did.
I think, what is this, blue shirt guy? It gets wet, so it changes colors a little bit. But I think that guy, I'm not soft.
No, he's, that guy.
He took a licking and kept ticking.
He took punches and two ragdollings.
Yeah, he got thrown in the water.
He got up. I think after he got thrown in the water, he was like, I gotta stand up for my honor, because that's about as emasculating.
He can't go out like that.
No, you can't.
He can't go out like
that. But he kept getting up.
Bang! Bang!
It's a great video if you haven't seen it. You have to watch it. Soft Boys continues. Sean Mapes, you were a big fan of the video game franchise NCAA Football.
Yes.
NCAA Football's about to release its second video game after a 10-plus year hiatus. This has got to suck. And I want to know what this is based on. Aiden Laros is the punter for Kentucky. There is a rating for toughness given to 16,000 athletes that are playing college football. These are actual names on these rosters.
Yes, yes. The reason this is funny is that, like, for the longest time, it was just punter number 48 or whatever.
Right.
Now it's this guy's actual name with a rating attached to it.
And his rating for toughness is zero. Zero. What did this guy do? Did he bang a developer's girlfriend or wife? I mean, he got a zero for toughness. That's mean.
This article says Aiden Laros is the only player in the game with a toughness rating of zero.
Yeah. I mean, he's from South Africa. I'm assuming, given he's from South Africa, that he's probably played rugby, if not some of the other sports that they play there.
Yeah, 6'2", 212. So, like, you know, not. I was thinking maybe a tiny punter, you know, where it's one of the really small guys that when they run on the field, you're like, this is unsafe for him to actually be on a field with 20 other football players. No, I have no idea why this guy. And he has a 77 rating. Like, it's not like he's bad either. If he was just bad, if he was a terrible punter, I can see it being like they just dropped it all low to keep his rating low.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why. Does this guy have, like, a story?
There must be. I think he must have shaboinked one of the people who made the game. Like, or one of their wives or they're
Louisville
that.
Fans. And
could
like,
be that.
Watch that. It would be too much eyeballs to do it to the quarterback.
It feels personal.
It does feel very personal.
I mean, and also they should get rid of this rating. Like, what the hell?
Just bump them up?
Yeah.
25. I think 25 is not a story. I think zero is just, it's tough.
Soft Boys continues. German team Borussia Dortmund played a game at MetLife Stadium over the weekend, and they lost to Real Madrid in the Club World Cup. They're upset about the grass. Quote, Borussia Dortmund of the Bundesliga coach Niko Kovac, it's more a golf green, so you can putt there. It's very short. But this is not the grass we are used to playing on in the Bundesliga and also in the other two stadiums One game was played in Cincinnati and another in Atlanta. Dortmund's been all over the United States. This guy continued, the watering wasn't good enough, I would say, because you don't have the devices for that. I don't know what that was. Was it Canadian? I don't know. When it's too dry, it's unbelievable. It's sticking. Soft. Hey, this is why Germany lost World War II. You know, this mentality right here. Oh, the grass in Russia, it's does not suit it for an army to march across.
It's too covered in snow.
No, no. Like, whatever. This is soft. This is soft. This is why no one respects Germany. I know it's not the German national team.
Hey, you're lucky it's not field turf, buddy. All right? They ripped up the turf to put in grass for you people.
I hope those NFL games that are being stolen from the United States to be played in a former Nazi country. It's been less than 100 years. I find it absolutely reprehensible that we're playing American football games in Germany. I hope that the American football teams absolutely destroy their fields. Like, just tear it to shreds. Like, salt the earth afterwards like you're the Romans with the Carthaginians so that no grass can grow on it again, too. How about that? Talking dirt. Talking trash about our fields? How dare you?
Richard Sherman's march?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think they should at the very least do what the... remember last college football season where on Rivalry Week where for some reason every single team wanted to, like, plant a flag or to, like... like stomp on the logo of the other team. That's what both teams in a show of unity should do after the game. Is just stomp on the like whatever NFL Europe logo that. In the middle.
I like that. Someone texted in Ryan Mello on the Twitch says the turf and grass notoriously bad at MetLife Stadium. Yes, but the Nazis don't get this. I mean, the Germans don't get to say that.
I also think they changed. I think it used to be turf, and they changed it to grass.
I think you're right.
After the season for this and for the World Cup,
yes.
In 26, apparently not good enough. It's too much like the putting green, as this coach said.
This is not good enough for us. We are Borussia Dortmund of the Bundesliga. Anyway, a soft Cleveland for forcing the removal of this billboard. This is John Williams. Has a billboard that says, yes, I buy crack houses.
Oh, that's fine.
They forced them to remove it because they found it insensitive. I mean, yeah, what about every single Dick Law Firm advertisement in Houston? Storm damage? Give Dick a try. Actual billboard.
Yeah.
Put my name in their mouth. Actual billboard.
That's the one that's crazy.
That's wild. I heart Dick. Actual billboard in the greater Houston area. Cleveland doesn't believe in freedom of speech.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, how's that different from we buy ugly houses?
Yeah. How about the advertisement that we play from our friend? Woo!
Oh, yeah.
Even we
my
even buy,
tenant
will
pay
the
rent
houses.
Sean,
wow. We even
Green
buy
Light.
Crack houses.
It's actually coming up next spring.
It is? All right, cool. They should
stay tuned. Stay tuned, everyone, for that.
And one last one. While Braves fans are sitting through an actual tornado, Braves beat writer David O'Brien is soft. He lost his mind. So many two-faced hypocrites here. Losing brings out the worst of you. When they're losing, you say we, the media, don't ask tough questions. When they're winning, you say we're negative if we upset them. And fanboys quickly jump to the side of any player whatsoever who criticizes a reporter. All during the offseason, when I said the luxury tax was a factor, whether or not it says so. I blah, 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 blah. Okay, it's like an eight-part tweet, series of tweets. Shut up, dude. No one cares. No one cares. Like, yes, fans react in different ways. We told fans to calm down a little bit earlier for getting upset about an Astros loss to the Guardians. Every single win that they have had over this stretch has been remarkable because they're doing it in spite of all the injuries. Okay? This guy, David O'Brien, bro, come on. That's what happens. That's what happens. People are going to fan. And Chandler Rome deals with this too. I think he deals with it a lot more stoically than this guy who just had an outright meltdown. Anyway, it's the Paul Gallant Show. Sean Mapes is behind the glass. That was Soft Boys, who's been soft in the world of sports every single Wednesday at 12:30. Should we roll on through here, Sean, or repass the points? Should we just combine segments here?
Let's combine.
Okay,
let's
cool.
Let's combine. I teased the green light offer coming up. Okay. Sean from Green Light.
It'll be coming up eventually.
Yeah, it will. Just wait a little bit longer. Sorry, folks.
A little bit longer for that commercial. But guys, we're getting closer and closer to the start of the NFL season. ESPN's been doing a series ranking the top players at their respective positions across the National Football League. And get this. There's two Houston Texans at the top of this list. Are you guys ready for a deep steel blue pill? Hit it!
Little blue pills can take 30 minutes to get you ready for excitement.
So that's why we're giving you a big, deep, steel blue pill.
You take the blue pill, believe whatever you want.
Get it up for the Texans and take this deep, steel blue pill.
And by the way, she'll like it too.
Texans swarm! Both Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter are among the top 10 pass rushers in the National Football League. Here's the top 10 list. Number one, Myles Garrett. Number two, TJ Watt. Three, Micah Parsons. The latter two in contract issues with their respective teams. Max Crosby is four. Nick Bosa of the San Francisco 49ers is five. For those who don't know, Crosby plays for the Las Vegas Raiders. Bengals pass rusher Trey Hendrickson, six. So half of the guys at the top of this list are in contract situations. Aiden Hutchinson with the Lions is seven. Will Anderson of your Houston Texans is eighth. Danielle Hunter of your Houston Texans is ninth. And then rounding it out, Jared Verse with the LA Rams, 10th. If the Texans go far this season, I know we all look at their offense, their offensive line, the new skill players. That's going to go a long way when it comes to taking down these teams with these great quarterbacks in the AFC, Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs, Lamar Jackson and the Ravens, Josh Allen and the Bills. But these guys are more important. These two pass rushers and the Houston Texans pass rush, I think, are going to determine whether or not the Texans advance to a Super Bowl. Can they have the kind of performance in a game that the Chiefs had against the Texans in these past playoffs? I think they're capable of it. If you have two of the top 10 and you got other guys in terms of depth that also have a lot of upside, you know, they brought in Daryl Taylor this offseason. Derek Barnett, I think, is still hanging around amongst others. Like, they got a pretty damn good Edwards. Mario Edwards, and, right? Who's in the middle. Foley Fatukasi.
Autry.
Danico Autry. Very good pass rusher historically. Not his best season last year. They got waves of pass rushers to throw at you, and both in terms of, you know, surviving injuries, and on top of that, just having guys who are fresh,
yeah,
all game long. I think they've done a really good job of putting together a pass rush with these two guys at the very top of it. And by the way, some interesting notes on these two. Will Anderson, per Texans defensive coordinator Matt Burke, has a new move that he's going to unleash on the National Football League this season.
I cannot wait for that.
What is that new move? I don't know, but it's new, and it's a move, okay?
And pray for Cam Robinson, who has to deal with it every day in practice.
But you know what? Iron sharpens iron.
Iron does sharpen iron.
Will Anderson and Dino Lana are going to make the Texans tackle situation, which is a big question mark, better by the end of training camp.
There we go. They're the most important Texans, not just because of what they do on Sundays on the field, but what they are doing starting, last month at OTAs. Because they're not only the biggest strength on this team, they're also making the biggest weakness on this team even better.
Right.
Every time they blow past these guys in practice.
That's right.
Every time Ed Ingram doesn't know who he's supposed to block, that's making him better.
I think there's a chance that the two could combine for more sacks than they had last year. And, I mean, they had a lot of sacks last year.
Yeah. Could they both get, 14?
Well.
Or combine for 30? I feel like they could combine. Because I think Will Anderson is going to have a 20-sack year one year. Like, he just, He has the talent. It's about putting together and staying healthy.
He has to play every game.
Yeah.
In 14 games, Will Anderson had 11 sacks last season. Meanwhile, Danielle Hunter, who played all 17 games, had 12. So they combined for 23. Could they both get to 14? I don't think it's completely far-fetched.
Yeah, I think if Anderson stays healthy, I think they can get there.
By the way, Will Anderson already has said he wants to be here the rest of his career. He's got his eyes on the Defensive Player of the Year title.
There we go.
I think he is perhaps the most likable Houston Texan, just based off of every single time I've spoken with him. He's so sweet. I can't believe he mauls quarterbacks for a living.
Yeah, they don't have Stephon Diggs anymore, so yeah, I'll give it to Anderson as the.
And it's funny. He has a lot of anxiety too, and this is something he was talking about during an interview, I believe, on the NFL Network. He says that he and Danielle Hunter have a nickname because they complement each other so well, and Danielle's just constantly calming him down.
Him at a time and taking one play at a time, and I have to give a huge shout out to Danielle, man. He's been a double-digit guy, sack guy since he's been in the league, and to see his process and to see, you know, he doesn't worry about those things. He's just like, bro, I'm just going out there and playing. I think that's been able to help me and calm me down, and you know, I always tell people we're like fire and ice. When I look at Danielle, I just. My fire just whoops on because he just brings that presence. Like, it's going to be okay, bro. You're going to get it. So, just lucky to have him and blessed to have him on the team.
Whoops. Like that. So, what do we like better? Do we like fire and ice? Or do we like what Danielle Hunter is calling the Houston Texans defensive line?
You know, we call ourselves the engine. You know, you got a car, and the car don't move without the engine. So, we take pride in, like, bringing the team on our backs. So we look at this defensive line as the engine of the team.
I think Hunter's 100% right. As I said a little bit earlier, I think that the pass rush is really going to determine how far this team goes. How many stops can they get of those great quarterbacks? What's better, fire and ice or the engine for the entirety of the defensive line group? I say the engine. It lends itself to fast and furious fun.
Yeah. Yeah, I like the engine. The engine.
Speaking of engines, seen Danielle Hunter's arms? Good God. So big and yet so vascular.
Yeah. Diesel.
Hunter Brown.
Get out of here, Hunter Brown.
Hunter Brown wishes he had that.
Spaghetti noodles he got.
Especially after last night. Like, hey, Hunter Brown, listen. You got a pretty cool tat sleeve. You're not quite our guy, Jeremy Booth, who has full tat sleeves that looked very painful that he brought in studio earlier this week. On Monday, Sean, when you were out, Jeremy Booth came in studio. His entire forearms are now completely sleeved.
I was going to say, am I not remembering that he has sleeves? No, he got sleeves very recently.
Very recently, and he showed off the whole thing. And he's 16 hours of work on the forearms. Holy crap.
What? Did he do the anesthetic thing?
No, I don't think so.
Dak Prescott did?
I don't think so. Okay. But I don't know, though. I actually should have followed up on that. Maybe next week we'll ask about that. But, you know, Danielle Hunter doesn't need no tattoos.
Yeah.
You know? That guy's just, his tattoos are his veins. They're ridiculous. I'm sorry I glaze over his arms as much as I do, but, like, they're the greatest things that these eyes have ever seen. What? I'm a straight man.
No. Yeah, we are. This is the little blue pill segment.
The little blue pill.
I figured this was coming.
Texans pass rush. It's looking really good going into next season. And it's got two of the best pass rushers in the league. Will Anderson ranked 8th. Danielle Hunter ranked 9th for ESPN.com. It is the Paul Gallant Show. ESPN 975-925. 713-780-3776 to call. To text YouTube at ESPN Houston. Twitch at ESPN 975. Up next, what does Dana Brown have to say about all these injured Astros you'll hear on the other side? Are you down with Dana Brown? Stick around.
Listen to ESPN 97.5 and HD 97.9 HD2.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.